And I was thinking during worship, you know, 40 minutes. People sometimes ask me, why so much worship? Well, let me tell you, I'm just going to shoot you straight. The 2020 election is not going to change anything. Getting upset is not going to change anything. The only thing that's going to offer any type of hope is to get on our face before Almighty God and begin to worship more. And I do want to ask you a question. Why is worship boring? But you're going to get very excited at the Super Bowl. I'm shooting straight this morning. Many of you know, and if you don't know, I actually have this part circled with a big question mark. I took a long walk early this morning and prayed with my wife, because some hard things need to be said from time to time. I released an article, an op-ed, they call it. The title was Thunderous Applause, We Can Kill Our Children in 9 Months. Many of you know, New York voted just that this week. As a result, I think the article has just on one news site, 300 and some thousand shares. I was on, many of you know, Fox News, spirited debate with Lauren Green this week. I learned a lesson. I'm not going to do Skype again. That's not very, very good quality. And I was supposed to drive to Los Angeles early this morning for Fox and Friends to be aired in at New York. And I got a little nervous when they said there's 1.5 million people watching. And they canceled last minute. That's kind of normal. You know, sometimes they throw things out there and then they see who's interested and then they kind of pull it in a little bit. So in a nutshell, that stirred a lot of controversy, and rightly so. When a nation is able to murder their children and nobody says anything. And when you do say something, they say, oh, you left Trump. No, I don't. I love the Word of God. But see, they can excuse that. They can say that and then excuse their actions. This has nothing to do with the political party and everything to do with God's Word. You better get that straight. You better get that straight. I don't support a person. I don't support a party. I support the Word of God. Lady Gaga just rebuked Mike Pence, Mike Pence's wife, for teaching at a Christian school that holds to traditional values. Many of you know Kate Hudson, actress. She's going to let her daughter choose her gender. See, the umbrella of God's grace is being removed. I don't know how people can hold to a particular party or to any mindset where this is allowed. On C-SPAN, I was watching. I had to turn it off. A doctor explaining how he would go into the uterus and begin to pull out limb by limb. And you want me to be quiet? How dare you say the church should keep its mouth shut in regard to politics? How dare you? God's Word has something to say. See, that's actually the problem. The pulpit doesn't want to say anything. Let's just talk about feeding the homeless, which we're doing tonight. Let's talk about loving our neighbor, which we will do. But oh, man, Lord. So the message this morning is trademarks of a false prophet. And there are more than you think. You don't think there's that many false prophets. There are a lot of false prophets. What is a false prophet? A false prophet, in a nutshell, is saying something that God does not say. Telling someone this is okay when God says it's not okay. It's a false proclaimer. They proclaim error instead of truth. And the ironic thing is, at least for me, when I read the Old Testament, the big sign of the false prophet was actually to not warn the people. Jeremiah 23. I have not sent these prophets, but they ran. I have not spoken to them, but they spoke. They were telling my people, peace, peace. When God says, there's no peace. There's judgment coming because of your sinful lifestyle. But these false prophets are not calling out sin. They're comforting you in your sin and in your rebellion against God. That's a false prophet. And there's two main characteristics we're going to look into. Number one, obviously, is they deny Jesus. Obviously. But number two is pretty tricky. And we're going to learn here, they turn God's grace into lewdness. See, Lady Gaga's Christianity is you can be bisexual, engage in all types of sexual activity. God is love. That's false. That's error. That's blasphemy. That's heretical. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. So that's why she's against Pence's wife, who stands for what God's word says. So see, this has nothing to do with political parties. It has to do with what does God's word say. It has something to say about ripping children from the womb. It has something to say about sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. It has something to say about protecting the nation. Oh, Shane, no, no. Well, go home and read Romans 1. God said, I have instituted government to be a terror to those who do evil. So if you do evil, be scared, because they do not bear the sword in vain. They are to be a terror to those who do evil. That's the whole concept of government. We just have to look at our Bible. False prophets will say, we don't have to obey God. Or, now be careful of this too, or they make obedience mandatory. What was the place in Waco, Texas? I mentioned Kurdesh, David Kurdesh, and the other place where they drank Kool-Aid. And they all died and because of these cults saying you have to do this. You can't marry, you can't eat certain foods, you can't. That's a sign often of a false prophet. Because within that is a lot of control. They're not being led by God's Spirit. Ironically, people who get upset at me say, you're drinking Kool-Aid. And I say, no, I'm drinking truth. The Kool-Aid drinkers are many of those out there. Because they're listening to the wrong words. They're not spending time in God's Word. And see, I've explained before, the problem I have, the more time I spend in His Word and with Him, the bolder I become. So the people say, oh, you need to not talk about those issues. The pulpit needs to be quiet. Just focus on the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? The good news. What is the good news? That it saved a wretch like me, and a wretch like me wants to make a difference. How does the gospel not filter into all areas of life? Now, you see, I think here's where we get confused. There are different callings. God's going to call certain pastors to different callings. They won't be as vocal as me. And that's okay. That's not their calling. But let's not shoot each other. Let's thank God for different giftings and different callings. That's how we make a difference in our culture. So Jude 3, we touched base on this last week. I actually had to drink some valerian root tea this morning to calm me down to make sure I would. Lord. I mean, did anyone watch the thunderous applause that took place when they voted that they can now abort children at 9 months? And those who are still supporting a party, you know what they tell me? Oh, but Shane, there's stuff in there. They can't just do that. It says they don't even have to be a physician. They can do it even if the mother's health is in jeopardy. What does that mean? Doctor, I'm pretty depressed. Yeah, let's remove it. See, there's too many loopholes. This is a very slippery slope. But we excuse things so we don't have to live up to the reality of them often. So, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, once and all delivered to the saints. That was last week. So make sure you listen to that. For certain men, and I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to get through this, so we'll continue this next week because there's so much I want to tell you. For certain men, look at this. They have crept in, noticed, and loud and vocal. No, how do they creep in? How do the false teachers come in? Unnoticed. And they creep in. Crep. Slowly. Unnoticed. They're not sounding their own alarm. who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. So all these people out there saying enjoying sexual sin under the banner of God is love are false proclaimers. That's just the way it is. Anybody that uses God's grace to continue his sin is not speaking according to God's word. That's what they said. They turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness, and they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you deny God? What is he talking about? Well, if Christ died for me in my sin, yet I'm going to continue in sin, I'm denying what he did for me. So I'm going to continue in sin, perverted sin, and say, but God is love. You're the hater, Shane. I'm the hater. Please understand, all these terms out there, hater, racist, all lies. It's a media frenzy designed to cover up. One reason I know is I've told many of these people, let's take a lie detector test. I'll pay it. It's $300, a good company from LA. Let's see who the real hater is. Nobody's ever taken me up on that. You're a racist. Lie detector test. Let's see. You can ask me if I'm a racist, if I hate certain things, and I'm going to ask you if you hate Christians. Beep, 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 beep. Let's find out who the real hater is. See, many people are buying into the smokescreen. You can't even wear a red hat unless you're labeled racist or hater. I don't have one. I don't own one. I don't plan on it. But see, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And if we're not going to speak the truth to people, I don't know who's going to do it. It's sure not going to be these big churches who have a platform because they're too worried about keeping that platform. I would love to see Joel Osteen preaches or Andy Stanley in Georgia. I would love to see these guys proclaim this. But Shane, we'll lose 25% of our audience. You're absolutely right, but you can go home and go to bed because you preach the Word of God. You can say, I did what He called me to do. I told you I was going to get in trouble this morning. So they crept in unnoticed. But you know, you get to a point where you've had enough. And my prayer has been, God, all morning I pray with my wife. I text the prayer team. Pray for boldness, but do not let me go beyond what you want me to say. I don't want my opinion coming in. I don't want frustration coming in. Lord, what do you want us to say? So they crept in unnoticed. They are so subtle, so nice. Some of you I shared this with, but the person who I was supposed to debate at the Spirit of Debate, decided to back out. I guess, you know. But they were so nice. You watch the video and they're just so nice. I've been doing gay marriage for decades and we just love and, you know, they're just so nice people. But you challenge him, Dr. Jekyll goes to Mr. Hyde very quickly. See, the false prophet will get upset and explode when challenged or exposed. It's a facade. It's fake. They turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness, which is that word lewdness. If you look at the Greek word for it, means very lustful. And God would call them out even in the Old Testament. You are like lustful stallions neighing, desiring one another's wives. And it gets to the point where there's a... Did you know lust increases? Or it can be quenched? You can try fasting. Try not stopping your porn habit. Kick it. Kill it. Start looking at things that are godly. That fleshly desire will just fade. But you begin to feed it and watch out. You begin to fuel it. Watch out. I've been in meetings where they've discussed the pornography epidemic. They don't even know what to do with it. As young as 11 years old, I think it was 85-90% of men marrying will be addicted to porn by the time they marry after 2020. Because we're feeding it. Lustful. And we turn God's grace into an excuse to continue in it. Here's what false teaching will do. One way to discern it is it will draw you back to your old ways. It appeals to the flesh. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. It pulls you back. Again, they say he is a God of love. That's going to be the big thing right now. It's a God of love. You're a hater. So they can continue in sin and cover it with umbrella of love. I mean, doesn't it sound good? Boy, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah, he is a God of love. Just continue in your sin. I'm the hater. What Bible are you reading? What passages are you looking at? And you probably already know this, but the majority of the time, I want to say 10 out of 10, but there's maybe that one person, they don't believe in the authority of God's word. That's not their standard. Their standard is what? How I feel. How I feel. Nike slogan, just do it. And you hear people, well, I don't feel that's right. I don't feel this. I don't feel this about, I don't feel. Does it line up with Scripture? And love is their cover. They say, God loves you, but keep sinning. God loves you. He won't judge you. And that is going to be the big thing right now, because who can argue with that? If I'm proclaiming just what the Bible says, I'm the hater, I'm the racist, I'm the hate monger, I'm the homophobe. See how they get away with everything? Oh, just put it back on me. Now you can continue with everything. All of those things are complete lies. All of them. So here's my personal application to you. Be very, very careful where you're getting your information from. That's why when people say, well, how can Christians be divided? How can Christians be divided? How? Well, if you're getting your information from the New York Times, Political, CNN, Huffington Post, and the Washington Post, I can tell you why. You're probably going in the wrong direction. You're listening to the wrong things. Will you listen to Fox News? No, I don't. I haven't in years. I listen to the Word of God. I listen to the Bible. Will you read the Drudge Report? No, I don't. Once in a while, I might pull up a clip or something. But what does God's Word say? And that's why there's a big divide. They're being swayed. The country's being swayed. They hate Trump because of a wall, but they don't care that a 10-year-old boy is sitting with a naked man. Nobody says anything. And it's promoted on Twitter. My God, America, wake up. And a state legalizes murdering children at 9 months. Why are people running from the Democratic Party? Running. No, you're promoting Republicans. No, I'm not. Stay in the middle. I don't care where you go, but you've got to get out of a culture of death. You don't have to jump to the other side. Get in the middle. I have issues with either side. That's why I'm not political. I'm biblical. What does the Bible say? If Obama promoted marriage and was against abortion, I'd be his biggest fan. I love the man, but not the principles. You're going to post the White House in LGBT colors? But say nothing when police officers are slain? I've got a problem with that. And so should you. Interesting fact. Barna took a survey. 90% of people in the churches want their pastor to talk about these issues. You know how many pastors do? 10%. Nickels and noses. It does play on you, though. I saw people walk into the church as I was in my office. I said, they're not going to like this message. That one's definitely not going to like this message. That one rebukes me for being political, but I don't care. I don't care. I'm tired, sick and tired of people's opinions telling me how to preach the Word of God. And you say, but Shane, that's harsh. Jesus looked at religious leaders and he said, you whitewashed tombs. You are full of dead men's bone. How dare you come into the house of God, you hypocrites? Jesus. He made a cat of nine tails. said, get out of my father. You want me to throw this over? That's what he did. He said, you've made my father a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Why should we not say the church of the living God should be the voice of truth, the voice of hope for those who have no voice? We must speak for those who cannot speak. We must declare what is right and before God. If not us, who? If not now, when? See, here's the problem. When you said that politics shouldn't be preached from the pulpit, maybe 40 years ago, when we were talking about paving roads, when we were talking about union versus this and wages, and but now you're talking about creating life to destroy it. Do you know we have representatives in our state? We're going to make it illegal to say he and she. Driver's license is an X, not a male. We have lost our mind. People say, but Shane, those are strong things you're saying. Well, a strong attack requires a strong response. Yes, it is. And again, the more time I pray, God, take, no, not this morning. No, I want to stay on my notes. No, I want to stay on my notes. No. Somebody in the New Testament got his head cut off for challenging the king. Jesus was killed because he challenged the religious system of his day. I mean, people have this impression of Jesus just mild and meek and turning the other cheek. And this, he was the epitome of boldness. A group was supposed to arrest him. They came back without him. They said, what happened? Where is he? And they said, no man ever spoke like this man. With what? With authority, with power, with anointing, with unction through the Spirit of God. That's actually what preaching should be. It shouldn't be 3 points in a poem. It shouldn't be under 30 minutes because the crowd is getting bored. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, they wouldn't be bored. And we change things to fit our needs. It's interesting, though. In North Korea, they're forced to listen to fake news. Here, we long for it. Propaganda. They are forced to listen to propaganda. Here, we are forced. We're not forced. We willingly listen to the wrong things. So that's my encouragement. Be very careful where you get your information from. 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. If that is not what is going on, I don't know what is. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So people say, how can this happen in New York? Well, right there. By the way, New Jersey's not too far behind. With a hot iron. I don't know why I can't get off this topic. Because people are continuing to hide behind the excuse. But Shane, when a mom's life is in jeopardy, I've been watching clips of doctors who have been doctors for decades, and they say, I've never seen a case where a baby's at 9 months where the mom's life is in jeopardy. And if it is, you can do something called a C-section. Be very careful where you're getting your information from. You should never get your information from opinion polls and from secular media. What does God's word say? And apart from Jesus Christ returning and governing, you are going to have flawed people in office. So the question you have to ask is, what type of America are we leaving our children? What principles line up with God's word the best they can? Number three, forbidding to marry. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So in a nutshell, a false prophet will deny what God allows and has created. They deny, look, here's how God made you, male and female. They'll deny that. They deny what God has done. And again, they encourage sin. This is actually very easy. A certain type of false prophet will always encourage sin. They're not going to, you will not hear them say the words repent. You need to repent and turn from your sin. If they say, now don't hold me to this, but I'm majority, if you hear them say you need to repent and turn from your sin and turn to God, let him save you because there's a judgment coming, they're probably not a false prophet. Unless they fall into the camp of, but now you got to do this, and now you got to do this, now you got to follow me all the time, now you got to buy me a car, now you got to come to church every day, now you know, see all these rules. Be careful there too. So I'm going to fast forward to next week and just read verse 16. These false prophets are grumblers, complainers. This could be headlines. No matter who you listen, this could be headlines. Grumblers, complainers, walking what? According to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. What's great swelling words? I'm such and such. I'm a professor of theological studies at whatever. I have a master's degree in church history. I'm flattering you. You all are dressed so nice today. You look so good. You're so happy. Let's just have a good service where we don't talk about bad things. We're going to have Mr. Rogers service. Flattery. Doesn't that sound good? I've accomplished this and I've accomplished that. So great swelling words. Flattering people. But they also change according to their audience. Change according to their audience. I'm going to just tell you something. You know, it's in the news. And it's a big deal. I'm actually glad our president gave in and stopped the shutdown. Personal opinion. But so many people are making this wall a big deal. Go back and listen to Obama, Joe Biden. I can give you a list of dozens of Democrats who said the same thing. Build it, build it, build it, secure our borders. But what now? The people say, oh, a people opinions. Opinions have shifted, so let me shift what I'm saying. Why not call that out? Why not say what I just said? They shifted. And if anybody else shifts on either side, we'll call them shifters. Either side. But see, great swelling words telling what they do is they look at opinion polls. So they have no moral fortitude. I'm talking about people in general. They don't have boldness. They don't have a truth as their standard. So they'll shift. Gay marriage is not popular. Okay, well, I better be against it. Guess what? Now it's popular. I better be for it. What does the Bible say? So you can stand on that as the ground of truth. They deny Jesus. They refuse to admit the truth of it or existence of. If you're planning on emailing me later, don't, because I'm not in the mood for negative emails. People send letters. They don't put their name. They don't send it. They don't put their phone number. They're a bunch of cowards. Or they work through other people. Tell Shane this. No, you tell me. You tell me. You man up. You come to me face to face. You tell me. My tea this morning, it said calm. It was calm. It had valerian root in it and dandelion. And because I said, Lord, and I'm not trying to joke, but I spent time with God this morning, hours praying, Lord, I don't want this to be me. Are you putting this on my heart? Because if the real Shane Eidelman came out, I would just tell everyone what you wanted to hear. I could build a church just being nice to people 10 times this size. Wouldn't be a lot of Spirit-filled believers there. Because people run to church where you encourage sin. First John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test. Test the spirits. Oh, this is something I forgot to tell you. They deny Jesus. They refuse to admit the truth of existence of him. They also do this. They avoid at any cost. They avoid dialogue. Do you think people on the other side ever want to sit down with me and look at what the Word of God says? Rarely. This is why people back out of interviews. They don't want to dialogue. What they want to do is spew their agenda and not be challenged. But the Word of God says we invite scrutiny. Remember, we talked about this last week. This invites scrutiny. Let's sit down together. Let's look at this. Because we have a wonderful advantage. All we're called to do is to proclaim the truth. We don't have to, I got to better change this. I don't know why it said this. We have to flip-flop. Here's what this says. You're defending the truth. And that's how you debate with the truth. And people don't want to hear that. They avoid that. So do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. How do you test the spirits? Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. See, many. And they're still here today. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And I talked more about that last week. Listen to last week's message on different cults that are here in the United States. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Something that people forget, they use this word Antichrist. They're looking for a person or something. The word Antichrist is against Christ. So there's an Antichrist spirit, things that are against Christ. So those who don't say that Jesus was the Son of God, fully man, the deity of Christ, came as a sacrifice for my sin. Basically, they say he's something different than what the Bible says. That's a false prophet. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. The person who has the Spirit of God has to say who he is. Has to say who he is. That's a true spokesman for God. But it says here, test every spirit. Test it. Well, how do you test it? How do you test a counterfeit? What do? You look at the original. I think it was Josh McDowell in one of his books about 20 years ago. He made a great point that in people who work in banks don't sit there all day and look at counterfeit money. They study the original. That's all they need to know. The 20 has this, has these numbers. They just look at the original. So that's how you test every spirit. Does it line up with God's word? And I see so many people just caving in and drawing in. Well, you know what? But these people love each other. Maybe, let's say, example, gay marriage is okay. But what does God's word say? I mean, if we took time, we could start in Genesis where he created them male and female. Jesus confirmed it. You can look in Corinthians. You can look in Romans. You can look in Galatians. You can look in Leviticus. That when he said it is an abomination for man to lay with a man. I'm assuming that still stands. I'm assuming that's still the word of God. And people say, but see, you're being mean. No, I'm offering hope. Because when you tell people, hey, you struggle with that. I struggle with this. They struggle with that. I have the answer. It's Christ. They say, but Shane, all these people are committing suicide with transgender and homosexuality. It's right because you're not giving them hope. You're not giving them any hope at all. You're telling them falsehood. You're born this way, embrace it, but they go home depressed and on Xanax and they don't know what's going on because you cannot encourage people in their sin and expect them to sleep and have peace and joy. Only peace and joy is only found by saying, I have this sinful nature that I can't get rid of. God, I give it to you. And Christ, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Your redemptive work has set me free. But you might still struggle. That's a big lie out there that people are set free of everything they've ever struggled with when they become a Christian. Not necessarily so. You still struggle. Don't we? For example, you've heard my testimony. I came out of my younger years of alcoholism. A cold beer sure still looks good. The flesh is still going, hey, Shane, why don't you answer that door again? Well, I've been set free. I shouldn't have that feeling anymore. Somebody actually told me that once. Brother, if you've truly been saved, you should never. So that should look like a stick of broccoli to me? You can sit at Yard House and have a pint of IPA and it looks like a piece of broccoli to me? Oh, see, now I'm hitting home. It's a big lie, people say. And that's the thing that they're coming against with reparative therapy or whatever that's called, where, you know, they say all Christians believe that these desires can be vanished and gone. Not all the time. Praise God, that happens from time to time. But sometimes people still struggle until the day they die. Well, that's depressing, no, because you have hope in Christ. Lord, help me. Get me through this. Galatians says this, I marvel, he's talking to the church in Galatia, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. What is perverting the gospel of Christ? Perversion, that word perversion means taking something straight and you're turning it from its intended course. So they're perverting. In the case of Galatia, they were adding works. Something like Jesus plus this equals salvation. They were turning from this simple gospel. And that's why Paul said, though we, even the writers of the Bible or an angel from above, if they preach to you any other gospel, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. What you need to do, mark that in your Bible, Galatians 1:6-9. Mark it, highlight it, and when a Mormon comes to your door, no, it's not meant to be funny. It's truth. You show them. Look, you know, your founder said he received a revelation from an angel, and that revelation is a lot different than the Bible. So here's my dilemma. What's your dilemma? I either have to believe Joseph Smith or Jesus Christ. They can't both be right. One or the other is right. So you tell them right there, did you know that this is another gospel? You are preaching another gospel. Paul uses strong language. Let them be anathema, cursed by God, if you preach another gospel. This is serious business. This is very serious business. But it does beg the question, since I'm on this, do you need the gospel? Where are you at? And here's, I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room. I'm going to write about this, hopefully, this week. The elephant in the room is this. Why is there a big moral divide in our nation? Why is there a divide between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error? Why are even Christians divided? Shane, what in the world is going on? Well, no arguments are going to fix it. Nope, I'm well aware that no articles I write are going to fix it. You can have Ben Shapiro do 300 interviews in a year and that's not going to fix it. You can try to put the right person off and it's not going to fix it. The reason is this. You have a lost and dying world that does not know Jesus Christ. Of course their views differ from your views. Of course. So the only hope is for Christ to come in and save and redeem them. That's the elephant in the room. So we can sit down, this side can talk to this side, and we can dialogue, go back and forth, go on CNN, go on Fox, do all these things. The elephant in the room is some do not know the gospel. They don't have the Spirit of the living God in them. That's why they've drifted. That's why I'm a hater, a warmonger, a warmonger. All these names. But see, calling me the names then deflects the real issue. That's why there's a moral divide. You have spirit-filled believers seeing what's going on, and you see you have millions of people who have no clue. So they're getting their information from a liberal media who's hell-bent on lying about whatever they can lie, make up whatever they can make up, and they sway the opinions of people. That's just the truth. So in your life, is Jesus the central, main, chief, fundamental, core focus of your life? Because when He is, there'll be a lot more unity. That's really what's uniting people. And it is hard because both parties are flawed. I don't want this to turn into everything I've been talking about. Both parties are flawed. There's no question there. But there's got to be a side. Who stands for this? Who stands for this? Think about that. World War II, you had scotch drinking, crude, Winston Churchill, or Adolf Hitler. You had to choose a side. And at least right now, there's people have got to make a decision. Where are we at? And what they're doing is they're putting all of these topics on the same priority list. It's like me saying, priority-wise, should I remain faithful to my wife or should I pay my DMV registration? But that's what we do. We hate this guy because of this, but we don't care that they're slaughtering innocent children. Where are your priorities? I'm halfway done. I'll save it for next week, but something that always stands out to me, and you might think, boy, he's upset. I'm really not. I'm sad. And when you're sad, you are passionate. What I'm sad about is there's many people, even on Facebook, Twitter, all these things, that they don't like what I'm saying, but guess what? They're Christians. Or so they say. Now, I don't doubt that some are just, and I was going to get to that. I want to let you know that a confused pastor or a confused person is not always a false teacher. They're just confused or immature. They don't have all the information. I'm not talking about that. My concern is these people who claim to be Christians, but know nothing about Christian principles. Jesus said, Many of you draw nigh unto me, but your hearts are far from me. Matthew 7, read it tonight. He said, many will come to me in that day and say, but Lord, we did all these things in your name. I knew you intellectually. I thought you were a God of love, so... And he will look at them. I can't even imagine the look. Can you imagine on the day of judgment, you're there, but Jesus, what's the facial expression? When he has to say, depart from me, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. How is that possible? Of course he knows about you and you know about him. But do you truly have a relationship with him? Have you repented of your sin and believed in the gospel and been saved and been set free? Now there are, I know, personally know believers in both political parties. I'm convinced. What I'm saying though is be careful. This isn't about politics. This is about, do you truly know Christ? Because that's the elephant in the room that we're talking about. If I told Fox, I want to go and tell people the real reason is because most of them don't know their Savior. No. You're not going on. And we keep avoiding the elephant in the room. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. They did things in his name. But I don't know you. I don't know you. You didn't stand for what is right. You didn't repent of your sin. You continued in it. You were arrogant. You were condescending. You didn't have the Spirit of God in you. You knew about me. You had intellectual knowledge. People told you about me. You thought you had that relationship with me. But I don't know you intimately. I don't know you as that person who would cry out to me in the morning and pray and worship and turn from their sin and confess and look to me. I don't know you. So that's where if I were to be honest, that's where my big concern is. It's not about political parties. It's not about politics. It's not about these things that are sometimes, controversial. It's about millions and millions and millions of Americans thinking they're on the narrow road to salvation and they're on the broad road to destruction. That's the truth. John said, those who say they know him and do not do his commandments are a liar, and the truth is not in them. You cannot say, but Shane, it's all about love, and think that it's no big deal to slaughter innocent children. I just read this morning, God has a good way of confirming things when I ask. I opened to the book of Nahum. He's pronouncing judgment on Assyria. And he said, oh, you bloody city. You've got the blood of innocent people on your hands, you hypocrites and you robbers. Is that not the nation we are in? You hypocrites, what does that mean? Because there's many people saying, coming after those who proclaim truth. We're the hypocrites. But remember, a hypocrite is intentionally deceiving others. They use God for their own gain. They continue in sin and don't repent. They allow the grace of God to foster and fuel lewdness. And I love people enough to tell them the truth. In case you're wondering, because I point out with LGBT community, with the gay community, with those committing adultery, those in fornication, those who took to alcohol, those who took to Xanax, I love them all. But the message is the same no matter the sin. I actually talked to a gay man in Palm Springs a few years ago. Many of you remember, 45 minutes, I missed my lunch with my wife. And just listened to him. And he said, I've never had anybody explain that to me that way. Because I said, let's say you're right and that gay lifestyle is okay. How are you going to handle all this other sin? They don't have an answer. See, no matter what the sin, the answer is the same. No matter what the struggle is, the answer is the same. Christ's redemptive work on the cross. What can wash away my sin? Don't leave me hanging. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash? I'll wait till Brand comes up because I'm going to ruin that thing. But I don't want people to misunderstand, because the motive of my heart is love. If it was anger, I wouldn't deal with God every morning and say, Lord, I don't want to speak that. I don't want to speak that. And I remember his call to Jeremiah. You go to who I send you. You speak what I put in your mouth. You pull down and you root out. You destroy. Strong language. What's he talking about? You root out and you pull down sin. You pull down the power of darkness. And then he said, Jeremiah, then you'll build up. Then you'll encourage. But you have to. If any of you are wondering if this is on, and you'll have time to read a lot of the Old Testament, just go read the introduction to the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Job, wasn't really a prophet. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. They're telling you exactly what I told you this morning. Turn from sin and turn to God. It's the same message. Same message today. What makes us think we're going to come up with some new truth?